Now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Pastor William Renick is with us. So, Pastor Renick, the prayers of everybody grateful that this war in Iraq is essentially over, and that our guys are the deepest sympathies, and may they rest in peace to the ones who died, but that most of the men and women are safe.
Well, I think that the prayers of everybody help in that regard. Today we are opening our 24-hour kitchen for the homeless here in Bellflower, California. And I look at these people, and I think to myself that God has a plan for everyone. I think when those young men and women went over to Iraq to do God, and I truly do believe they did God's work, that he wanted them to come home, to serve that fellow man back here in the United States. I think that we have seen these young men and women come back, and we have rejoiced in the fact that they're safe.
Yes, we have.
Now I think the time has come to turn our attention back to domestic matters. I turn the TV on and say, troops, the troops are coming home, the troops are all right. I tell everybody the troops are going to be fine. I've told everyone, and this past weekend we had a retreat. I said the troops are fine. Everybody worried about the troops. But how many people are praying for their preachers and ministers? For the people of the cloth, for the missionaries.
Right.
For the priests, for the abbots, for the monks, for the brothers, for all the people who do God's work in the cloth.
Right.
I don't hear anybody saying thank you, preacher.
Well,
I don't hear anyone though.
No, but can I say something, Pastor Renick? Preachers and ministers are supposed to pray. When you say people should be praying for them...
Phil, let me bring this to a more practical level. The war in Iraq is over. Praise Jesus that the war is over. How you think that war got over? A lot of people were praying. But the real prayers that got that war over with coming from the men of the cloth.
The ministers.
The ministers, the pastors.
But what about all the prayers of everybody?
Look, if you are a CEO at a company, you don't listen to some guy in the mail room, do you? You listen to the vice president of finance. You listen to your vice president in charge of distribution. You listen to your vice president in charge of sales. You don't listen to somebody in the mail room. Now, the mail room guy, he talked to somebody in bookkeeping. And the bookkeeping guy talked to someone in sales. And a sales guy talked to somebody and on and on and on it goes. That's the way God is. Now, he hears your prayers, but he hears them through me.
Wait, if I am...
I'm telling you that God hears the prayers of the ministers and pastors. Because I've been on my knees all summer praying for these men. And all winter praying for this war not to take place. Praying for these people to come back safe. I'm prayed out. I got on top of that, I got people coming to me say, Pastor, you pray for me? I got a bad leg. Pastor, you pray for me? I got a heart condition.
You say you're tired out?
I'm tired out, worn out, drug down, brung down, everything. And I tell you this much. You can't keep using the men of God like this without giving something back. That's the point that I want to make today. I think the pastors and ministers of this country, who this war would not be over today, Philip, wasn't for them.
And no. Okay, but how can you say that?
Because we prayed it. Because we beseeched Jesus. Because we are anointed and the representatives of Jesus Christ on this planet. What do you mean? What do I mean by that? I'm a preacher. I'm a minister.
So God hears your praise, your prayers more than other people?
God hears everybody's prayers, but he pays attention to mine because I am the representative of the Lamb and the blood of Jesus on this planet, along with all my brethren. And so, Phil, as we pray to have this horrible war come to a close, came to a close. And now, I don't see anybody saying, thank you, preacher. Thank you. No, they're coming up to me. Hey, preacher, would you pray for my sister? She got a hair lip. Pray for my brother, got a club foot. Won't you pray for this person? Pray for that person. Everybody going to pray for me? No, they don't. That's why we made the message that we did.
All right, look, I gotta take a little bit of a break just to give our phone number out, because I do want to get to the rest of what you're saying. Pastor William Renick, let me give the phone number out first. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Your essential point here is that the preachers and ministers are not appreciated.
I know they're not appreciated at all. But let me tell you this, Phil. I don't need that kind of appreciation. That's why we passed the basket on Sunday. I don't need you coming up to me, telling me how great I am or anything like that. I don't need you praying for me.
Oh, well, I was going to say, because your prayers are heard according to you.
According to the Christian tradition, the prayers of a preacher of the Pentecostal faith are far and away louder in the ear of God than anybody down there, some sucker that is, and I don't say sucker, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but just a regular guy. But if it wasn't for the preachers, the pastors, the ministers, and all of us in the club, that war would be still blazing hell over there.
Well,
raining hell down on Saddam Hussein. I'm the preacher man. I'm the one. Now, here's what I'm saying.
You're a very colorful guy.
I feel like I do it for a reason. And that is...
You were mentioning passing the hat.
I'm saying you don't have to thank me. It's just on Sunday when you come into my church. You don't have to say thank you. But on Sunday, you better cough up. Now, let me tell you something. I had a guy down on Sunday, I want to see the donation start to triple and quadruple, because we are trying to build a prayer retreat with extra donations from the people who come to our church. And I see the same people coming, he's sitting down in the same place, and they all with the same thing. Here's a dollar. Some guy put a dollar in the basket the other day. A dollar! Now, you know what that is? You might as well walk up to the cross and spit in Jesus' face. You put a dollar in the basket.
But that may be all that person can afford.
Oh, come on. A buck. Look, Phil, I prayed for these people. They all asked me to pray for them. Pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. I pray. That's the thanks I get for stopping a plane load of body bags. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying.
You're making it sound like you stopped the war yourself with your prayers.
I'm telling you that my prayers and the prayers of my fellow preachers and the prayers of my fellow ministers stopped this hellish war. Yes, I am saying that. I'm telling you.
I mean, you're making it sound like only the preachers.
When you send your prayers to God, they got to come through me, because that's how it works. Now, let me tell you something. And you listen good. All the thanks I get for keeping plane load after plane load after plane load of body bags flying back here to the United States is some guy sits down in my church and put a dollar in the basket. The hell are you trying to do? So that's why I say today that it is time for the American people to open their eyes and show some gratitude for what the preachers and ministers have done. They stopped this war. They brought these young people back safe and sound.
You're basically saying that every prayer that was ever said by anybody other than a preacher was no good to God.
No, but I didn't say that, Phil.
Well, that's what you're saying.
No, I did not. I said they're helpful, but you got to have my prayers too. Your prayers are no good. I tell you, I didn't turn my back on these people asking me to bring home their sons and daughters safe from Iraq. I didn't turn my back on these people who said, please pray for my son who's in the United States Army.
Well,
please pray for my son who's in the United States Navy.
Yeah, but
please pray for my son who's in the United States Marine Corps. Please pray for my son in the United States Air Force. Jesus, pray for my son who in the U.S. Coast Guard, Construction Brigade, Army Corps engineers, Navy SEALs, Green Beret. They want all kinds of prayer. But they don't want to make with no green on Sunday, lay it on me on that basket. He whips out a lousy green. What a cheap creep. That's what I'm saying.
All right, hold on. I got to get a phone call here. Pastor William Renick, you're a colorful guy, Pastor Renick.
I'm a man of color.
I know, but I'm saying you have a personality that's unlike any. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Renick, who feels it is the prayers of the preachers who brought our guys and our gals back safe from Vietnam, or not Vietnam, from Iraq, and yet they're not getting any thanks. Here is Roshina.
Roshini.
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask the pastor, is it not true that God hears everyone's prayers?
That is true, God hears everyone's prayers. But God anointed, through St. Peter and through the apostles, representatives of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, on this earth. You can't get to heaven unless you've got a teacher. You know, back in the day, they used to call him a guru. You know that?
I understand
Roshina,
that
you know,
part.
Yeah.
I pray to the same God you do every single night.
Right.
I have a brother that is in Iraq right now.
God bless you.
And I believe that the Lord has heard my prayers just like he's heard yours.
Well, the Lord has heard your prayer through me. And what your church?
I really don't believe that. I mean, oh yes, I'll go to my pastor and ask him to pray for my brother.
That's right.
But you know, my family also prayed for his safety.
Yes. So what about that, Pastor Renick?
Well, I want to ask the sister, what your church? What church you go to? Yeah, what church you go to?
My church is in Miami, Florida.
All right. Your pastor, what's your pastor name? What's your sister, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your pastor name?
Pastor William.
Pastor William had been praying for your brother. And he had been praying for all the other young men and women from that church and from that community.
That I understand
and
the reason I go to church is to help me understand the Bible, help me understand certain things that I can't understand on my own.
But I also
heard that no man is perfect.
Every single
night, we all pray for forgiveness for our sins.
Absolutely.
We pray for the safety of others, and I would think that the Lord would hear our prayers.
Yeah, the Lord hears your prayers only through your
pastor.
That's
like he hears yours.
That's
he hears mine, and he hears yours.
You have to understand.
But I don't think
in a language that God understands. You have to understand that as a preacher, I pray in a language God understands. Otherwise, when you pray to God only by yourself, you sound like you're from China. He don't understand. You sound like a China woman.
No, that's
but,
not
what do you
true.
Mean a China woman?
If you pray to God without the help of your minister, it sounds like Chinese coming at the Lord. That's not necessarily true. No,
you know how many people that are in the church that are just as bad as sinners as anyone that is not in the church?
No, but I'm talking about the preacher.
You know how many preachers?
Man, you know, I've heard all about Jim Baker, all that. I'm talking today about today's modern-day preacher. We helped stop the war.
And I understand that. But just like if my pastor prayed for the people in Iraq, our soldiers in Iraq, prayed for the safety of the civilians in Iraq, the people that who are not part of the war of Iraq, and we pray for them also, why haven't all of our prayers been heard?
Because they didn't go through their preacher. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They didn't go through the minister, the preacher. And God, he heard your prayer, but it sounded like it's coming like some Chinese or Korean talk. Like Chong Dong Tong Dong, he don't know what you're saying. You got to go through the preacher.
The Lord knows exactly what I'm saying. I refuse to believe that the Lord doesn't understand my prayer. He understands
yours
better than mine.
I tell you what, you pray, and I will interpret what it sounds like to God. Go ahead and pray.
And another thing is, why do I have to thank? Okay,
you know, like that, and that's all.
I believe in paying my tithes and my offering, but why, when I go to church on Sunday, do I have to double up on it?
I just
should be good enough.
Roshina, you love your brother.
I'm thanking you right now for praying for our troops.
All right, that's
but
good.
I also prayed for the troops also.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm not asking anyone to give me a dime for it.
God bless your brother. Is he coming home? Have you talked to your brother? Is he coming home?
My sister-in-law has talked to him, and he's doing well.
Oh, that's very good, because we're going to continue to pray for that young man, because the last thing you want to hear about is, like, your minister not praying for him, and the next thing you know, he's dead meat.
Oh, come on. You don't have to say that, Pastor.
No.
You don't have to say he's dead meat.
I'm saying that.
No, you're just going to scare the lady. The kid's over there. He's doing fine.
No. You know, He's not scaring me because I have my faith in God.
All I got, no,
and you know, if God has a plan for someone, then it will be carried out.
That's
whether he heard my prayer or anyone else's. If God has a plan for anyone, it will be carried out.
I am thankful for everyone
that has prayed for all the truth.
You may have faith in God, but he thinks you're ordering noodles. You see what I'm saying? He doesn't know.
I don't believe that. I'm sorry, Pastor. I don't believe it.
All right, Rushenoff, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Renick is with us, a Pentecostal pastor from Joyful Union Congregation. I know we're really late for the break, Mark, but basically what he's saying is God hears your prayers, but he hears them louder and clearer if you put them through your pastor or your minister. And he basically wants some thanks for the hard work that pastors and ministers have done praying for an end to this war, because as far as he's concerned, that's why it's over. The pastors and the ministers ended it with their prayers. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I did that.
I understand. We're back on the air. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry with Pastor William Renick. He's with Joyful Union Congregation. And we're talking about the feeling among a lot of ministers, especially you, Pastor Renick, of ingratitude, that while you prayed for people and prayed for the end of the war, everybody is not praying for preachers. Is that right?
But more than praying for preachers. So we're talking about coming back to church, to helping out the community, helping out the church. I'm on my knee. I'm praying. My son can't get out of jail, so I pray for that son to get out of jail. As far as I know, he could be a cold-blooded murderer, but I pray for him to get out of jail. They pray my car won't get a flat tire. My daughter won't get herpes because she's going out with a new guy that she loved, but the mother's afraid her daughter will get herpes, if you can believe this, that I'll get new shoes. Oh, me, everybody about them. Nothing about me. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. Andrea, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
I'm listening to this minister, and it sounds like he needs to get a new profession.
I've been pastor of Joyful Union for 35 years. I don't think I'm...
So you give Christians a bad name because you should be doing it for the Lord, not for the money.
I ain't doing it for the money. Look, I'm human like anybody else. I'm praying for the war to get over everybody. And anybody getting any thanks? Anybody thanking me for it?
I work at a Christian school as a teacher.
What's that got to do with me?
Hold on, you
don't have to yell, Pastor.
But I'm not. The woman has irritated me.
I do this for the love of God. I don't do it for the recognition, for the pat on my back from all the people.
Well, that's okay.
They're saying you're doing a good job.
Well, that's nothing wrong with
putting money into your church.
Well, there's nothing wrong with getting a pat on the back, but nothing wrong with doing it for love. I'd like a little something that I can spend.
Hey, at least people are coming into your church. There's a lot of people don't even have people coming into their church.
You know, Andre, I'll tell you something. I have people come to my church every Sunday.
If they can give a dollar, then you should be grateful for that dollar.
That's like spitting into Jesus' face.
Hey, it's a dollar.
It's a buck.
You don't know what shoe that person's walking in, so how can you... And you're
Oh, come on. A buck? They can't afford more than a dollar? That's bullcrap. I'll tell you that right now. Because that's bullcrap. I know everybody in my church. And look at all, are you happy the war is victorious? Then you better dig under that mattress of yours. Give me some money.
All right, look at it. I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Renick, he prayed for the end of the war. It's come, and people are not grateful to pastors and ministers. They're the ones that ended the war with their prayers. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
On with Pastor William Renick of Joyful Union Congregation. Are you building a prayer center with the monies that you're making, Pastor Renick?
Well, right now what we're trying to do is simply remind people of their obligation to the preacher, for the minister, for the priest, for the people who facilitate their salvation, because we prayed for the end of the war. Now, the money that we are going to make at Joyful Union, as opposed to other churches, whether it's First Denomination or not, will go to build a prayer center. And it will be a pastor's residence, if you will. You have to understand, the way I've been ignored, even after my prayers helped stop the war, I think it's time to give me and other ministers a pleasant place to live, pray, work, and write. Sanctuary, if you will, so I can continue praying for all these people who asked me to pray for them. And that's what our prayer center's going to be.
Now, this looks like a home. I see some pictures of it. Like a home, four bedrooms, there's a tennis court, there's a pool.
Now, this is a prayer center. All our parishioners can come, they can look around. We allowed you to take a 15-minute walking tour between noon and 2 every day except Sunday. I will live there, yes.
But parishioners can also stay there?
Absolutely, Phil. And this is an aspect of our prayer center that we're really proud of. The fact that the parishioners who need a place to stay can stay there. Now, coming up this weekend, we've got a group of 10 girls that are part of our Teen Angel program. They're going to stay the weekend. We'll have prayer time. We'll socialize, have some dinner together, take a swim. And then we'll have our consultation, which is like a confession of past sins. And all of this will take place at the prayer center. We are going to be funding through the monies that people will give to our church as thank you to me and other preachers for ending the war.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Mark, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Mark,
Hello?
Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yes. Do I talk?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, wonderful. I want to talk to the preacher there, and I want to ask him, like, from what common sense is he talking about that nobody, that God doesn't understand any kind of languages. If I pray, who prays? An Arabic guy prays, or an American, or a Spanish guy prays. If he created them, and he knows what he created for that, unless there's one point there, is unless God is an idiot for it, that he doesn't know nothing about what he created.
Well, now, brother,
so
we don't have to get angry and call God an idiot. We don't have to do that.
No. We didn't call God an idiot. I'm talking about the God that you're talking about, that he doesn't understand nobody's language.
Let me say what I'm saying. Every man or woman that had children knows that they love all their children equally, but they know that one child or another child may be smarter than the other children. God, when he made...
You're smarter than all our natural people?
No. What I'm saying is, when God made the American man and woman, he know they smarter than everybody else. So that's why he rather people pray in English.
Listen, you're touching on a base that...
Wait a minute.
American person. I'm talking about a person alone.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
If I go to pray to God, he doesn't understand my language. It's going to be like ting tong tong, the Korean thing that you just mentioned minutes ago.
That's right.
You know? Because you have to know, happen to know his own language.
You misunderstood me. What I'm saying is this. If you pray by yourself and there is not a preacher that you have contacted to help you pray, then you pray and sound like a bunch of Chinese.
No.
But if you have a preacher,
I ask you one thing, though.
Like, if you start praying, Mark, without any preacher knowing what it is you pray about, to God it sounds like you bangy or something. He don't know.
No. What do you mean
what?
He don't know?
What do you mean he doesn't know?
You just made him look like an idiot, but whatever
you're
talking
about.
No,
there you go. You're calling God an idiot.
You're making him look like that.
No, you just called the Lord Almighty, exalted God, an idiot.
Then you're making him look like that. And listen,
you are misunderstanding everything I'm saying.
No, you're misunderstanding me here. I know that God is the Almighty, right? He knows all the things that's happening in this world. He created all of something's happening there.
He do, but
and
then he gave over.
Me,
he gave
you're
over.
Contradicting every single religion in this world for
no.
whatever.
When God created the earth, then he said, now I'm going to rest. You remember in the Bible it says on the seventh day the Lord rest. And what he said on that day was, now I'm going to give over to man some of the responsibility so that I don't have to have so much responsibility. That's why now he give over to the preachers, to the ministers, to the priests, as intermediary. And so I can pray to God. If you say to me, hey preacher, Pastor Renick, will you pray for my daughter so she could get well, or my son so he could go to college? I say, yes, I will. And then God hears the prayer. But if it's just you by yourself, you sound like a Chinaman. You know what you're talking about.
That's what you're telling me here, that he's not complete. He's not fully almighty. If he cannot handle the whatever things and obligation that he has to do concerning to his people there, then he's not complete.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
You guys are completing him.
You don't make any sense. Right now, God's going, what in hell? What are you talking about?
I'm not talking
about...
Wait
a minute. Wait, let me jump in here. I think it's a simple premise, Pastor Renick, that Mark and a lot of people are saying, and myself included, that you don't need a preacher to pray, that you can just pray.
I never said you didn't.
Well, what you're saying is I can pray, but if I don't have a preacher helping me, it sounds like Chinese.
To God, yes.
Well, that's a load of crap. What if I'm on a deserted island and there ain't no preachers around?
Then you are in the mercy of God. That's right.
Preacher's mind.
Look,
you know what? The way you
look,
sound,
I can't even understand you. How the hell you think God gonna understand you? See what I'm saying?
Listen, you should be working in 7-Eleven over there. You shouldn't be a preacher at all.
7-Eleven? You think I'm a towel wrapper now, huh? I'm a black man, but that don't make me no turban winder. I come from the United States of America.
Listen,
working over 7-Eleven. I think you ought to be over 7-Eleven with a dot in the middle of your head.
All right, you know something.
What a son of a bill, man.
Look, he got out of hand there. I don't know. Look, Pastor Renick, I reject your premise.
Oh, you reject my premise. Well, all right. Dr. Henry, with the doctorate of theology, you reject my premise. You reject
I do. I reject your premise. This goes back to this is why Martin Luther hung those his protests against the church on the door. You can't buy salvation. You can't. That's like going back to the days before the Reformation where you would go in and you would buy salvation.
What the hell are you talking about? Are you trying to pretend like you know something about the history of the church? Is that you do?
And what do you got to scream everything for?
I don't know. I thought it would be a good way to...
Oh, just never mind. Pastor William Renick, 1-800-449-8686. Sounds like Chinese. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
By the way, that was me doing the voice of Pastor William Renick. The folks that called in were speaking, they thought, to a real pastor. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Welcome, this is the Phil Hendry Show. This is what we do on our show. I don't know about anybody else, but we actually endeavor to entertain people here. We actually endeavor to really do something different on our show. I don't know what anybody else is doing out there, but I hope they're having fun. Check out our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Go to our website. You can get for $6.95 a month, you can get a backstage pass. That gives you access to all of the audio. And the audio that we have on our website comes in three basic forms. We have what is called our Comedy Gold Archives, which are sort of a short form and longer form comedy bits that we've done involving a lot of these characters. And then we have our 30-day archive, which is literally an archive of the last 30 days' worth of shows. You can go in and listen to specific hours if you missed one. And then there is a live streaming of the show. You can hear the show on demand anytime during the day. You may get home at 11 o'clock at night, 6 in the morning, doesn't matter. You can get the show on demand whenever you want. That's with our live streaming. In addition to all of that, we have a souvenir shop. Go on in there and browse around. We have R.C. Collins' diary. We've got a games and movies page. We literally have games you can play. One of them is Spooge Man. and the other one is Hendroids. We also have a scrapbook of pictures you can look at, interviews that I've done with the news media. We've got show news, stuff that, you know, if you're a fan of the show, you might like. Plus, on our homepage, what with the war in Iraq, we've got a couple of interesting posters that we put up. We also have a list of French items that you can boycott. Which, by the way, this whole boycott French stuff started on this show. Now, I know you probably heard about it on a TV show someplace. It started here. We started talking about boycotting French crap 3, 4, 5 months ago. Then it starts popping up on all these television shows. And you want to know something? It makes me mad. Oh, I don't care. Anyway, we have a list of boycott crap from France. And what else? Well, just, you know, bits from yesterday's show, preceding shows. You can read our show logs if you'd like. And we got a really cool picture on our homepage, too, of our Phil Henry show listener, First Lieutenant Ted Shimp, who is with the U.S. Marine Corps' 15th Marine Expeditionary Unit. And he's standing in front of a big picture there of Saddam Hussein. He's got a big smile on his face. And then there's another Marine, untitled, who's doing something else to Saddam Hussein's face. You won't want to miss it. It's all on our homepage, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We got our war diary. We'll get into that. And I want to just mention this name again. I don't want this name to just come and go. Remember this name, Imad Fayez Mugnier. Imad Fayez Mugnier. Now, who is he? He's the guy that beat to death Robert Stethem, the American naval mechanic diver, who was beaten to death on that TWA flight in 1985, and his body was tossed out onto the tarmac. This guy's name is Imad Fayez Mugnier, and he's a real walking piece of excrement. And I don't know if the CIA's got this guy going. They got this guy a boss. See, we don't forget, man. Uncle Sammy ain't forgetting. This guy a boss shot a 69-year-old man and threw him in a... How can you be proud of yourself? How can you call yourself a fighter for Palestinian freedom? How can you even look yourself in the mirror and say you're a man? You know what I'm saying? How can any of them look themselves in the mirror and call themselves men? They shoot a man in a wheelchair and throw him into the Mediterranean. Now, you know what they're going to come back with? Why not? The Israelis do the same thing. They don't do it on purpose. There's a big difference between a civilized society and what you guys are trying to build. Mistakes in warfare killing civilians are just that. They're mistakes. Oh, you don't think they're mistakes? You think they're all done on purpose? Well, maybe you guys think they're all done on purpose because you all do them on purpose. Let me tell you what they used to think about it in World War II when a civilian got killed. They used to blame the guy who was the dictator. You know, if German civilians got killed, guess who got the blame? Hitler. Shouldn't have started this stuff in the first place, baby. Same thing goes for Saddam. Anyway, don't forget this guy's name, Imad Fayez Mugnier. He's a piece of crap, and he's still alive. He's running around out there probably in, Palestinian Authority. Probably has a home in the burbs. Wife, kids. He's probably doing great. Just like this guy, Abu Abbas. They captured him in Baghdad. You want to know why? Because the Syrians wouldn't touch him. Now, I think that's interesting. The Syrians have now gotten wind of the fact that we know Iraqis have been pouring into Syria. And they got a big, fat bullseye painted on their ass. So the last thing that they want is more trouble. So when this guy, Abbas, about 5 days ago, tried to get out of the country, Syrians recognized him at the border and turned him back. Twice. Not once. Twice. He had nowhere to go. He couldn't get into Iran either. He went back to Baghdad. Now, according to a report in the news, not only was this guy living in Baghdad, but they've also uncovered another terror training camp. Now, I understand there's people who are going to say, it's just America making a big thing out of nothing. And anything that we do find, of course, we planted, right? Now, never mind the fact that if we wanted to plant something, we would have planted the weapons of mass destruction by now, don't you think? Fact is, we're finding all kinds of evidence of ties to terrorist organizations, ties to terror training camps, ties to scumbags like Abbas. We find a guy, Abbas himself, Abu Nadal, the Al-Ansar Brigade up in the north, Al-Ansar Islam, which is associated with the Al-Qaeda. You know, even my brother-in-law, Dumbass, is starting to see the light. Even Dumbass is starting to see the light. Now, Tim Robbins, the movie actor, was on TV the other day. I think it was yesterday. Do we have that, Janice? And he was crying about Clear Channel. Clear Channel's the company that I work for. Now, why was he crying about Clear Channel? Well, he's crying about Clear Channel because of me. Now, here's a guy who thinks he's going to say stuff, and nobody is allowed to disagree with him. He also thinks he's Franklin Roosevelt. Check this out. Listen to this. You'd swear to God, the guy thinks he's in a movie about FDR. Hear that? No, I'm just kidding. Here it is.
A chill wind is blowing in this nation. A message is being sent through the White House and its allies in talk radio and Clear Channel and Cooperstown. If you oppose this administration, there can and will be ramifications. Every day, the airwaves are filled with warnings, veiled and unveiled threats, spewed invective and hatred directed at any voice of dissent. And the public, like so many relatives and friends that I saw this weekend, sit in mute opposition and fear.
Well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Yay.
Hey, do you have the R.C. Collin blows-a-meter there? Do you know where it is? Hey, if this server goes down one more time, I'm going to commit murder. It went down again. Why is it going down? My server went down on my call screening program. You got it? All right, now hold on for a minute. Listen very carefully, folks.
A chill wind is blowing.
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter? Yep, bean dip.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Liza Minnelli.
Hey.
Clear Channel. I can't figure out why he singled out Clear Channel. Why? Because there's cats on the radio here who say, hey, man, get back to making the good movies that you made, like Bull Durham and The Player and Arlington Road. Oh, did I say Arlington Road? I'm sorry. Shawshank Redemption. That's a good flick. Arlington Road. Boy, do I wish I had my $8 back from that. Tim, you make some good flicks, but that Arlington Road, you got to be putting me on with that. Why,
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter? Egg salad.
Yeah, that's where that was at. Jacob's Ladder, that sucked too. Otherwise, you're great. Just stick to making the movies, huh? Stick to making the movies and making Susan happy. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Our ability to...
Oh, shut up. I wasn't sure we were going to be able to get this interview on the air, but I'm very happy that we did, considering that I have taken some serious shots at this gentleman, and yet he's been gracious enough to come on our airwaves, and we're very happy to have him with us tonight. Tim Robbins will be my very special guest here in just a couple of minutes. 1-800-449-8686 is also the number to reach our show. And don't forget our souvenir shop at the Phil Henry website. You can get the Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, our black and white coffee and latte mug. We'll have Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, official Phil Henry Show T-shirts, and we also have our Western Estates polo shirts. So whatever your need for this coming Father's Day or Easter or whatever, check out our website. All right, let me bring him on right now. And philosophically, I disagree with a lot of things that you say, Mr. Robbins, but I do thank you for being on my program.
Thank you, Phil.
And by the way, I am a big fan of your movies.
I appreciate that.
But I have to say, you've been making kind of a fool out of yourself here recently with your views about Iraq and you sort of traveling around the country feeling persecuted. I mean, where did you get this persecution complex from?
You know, it comes from the fact, Phil, that as an actor, I generally just talk to people and they don't answer back. Especially when you do movies, you just talk to them and they don't answer back. But since I've been speaking my mind, which is really not my mind, on the war, people are actually disagreeing with me. And that's kind of a new experience. It's kind of an interesting experience. I've never...
You never had anybody disagree with you before?
No, I never have. Everyone says, "Hi, Mr. Robbins, how are you? It's a great movie." "Yes, Mr. Robbins." "Oh, yeah, Arlington Road is fantastic." Things like that. And so I just, it's kind of new for me, but I hope I'm getting used to it.
Well, it doesn't look like you're getting used to it. It looks like yesterday you were addressing the press club and you were singling out Clear Channel. Why?
Well, because Clear Channel has talk show hosts that disagree with what I say. And it hurts my feelings. I went home and cried. And I just feel bad. Hold on for a minute. Susan,
God.
I was, she's fooling around.
Okay.
One of the things that I wanted to say was that I'd like to express my views about Iraq and not have anyone disagree with me. That's all I'm asking. I think it's reasonable, and I'm going to give the American people 30 days to think about it, or I'll never make another movie.
Is it possible, sir, that that is not a threat but a promise that we hope is fulfilled?
You mean nobody want?
Yeah, no one would want to see you in another movie.
Well, that's possible, yeah. But again, you can't disagree with me. I'm a film actor, and I'm not used to it. The other things that I... Would you stop that, please? Would you stop that, please?
Is that Mr. Randon?
Yeah, would you stop it? The other thing... Would you stop that, please? Would you stop that, please? I hit her.
You didn't hit a woman.
Yes, I did. She's a pain.
What is it with you and her anyway? She's what, like 10, 15 years older?
I had a mother thing for a while. You know how guys are, that whole MILF thing. It's getting a little thin now, though. Anyway, what I wanted to say was, by the way, just because I'm tall doesn't mean it's...
Yeah, I understand.
Now, a lot of people who... Hold on for a minute. You stinking... Yeah. Yeah. So I said what I said to the press club, Phil, because it hurts my feelings when people disagree with me.
Now, the way you were also, I listened to that press club speech, it sounded like you thought you were president of the United States the way you were talking.
I have had a fantasy about running for office, and I did want to sound as stentorian as I could, sort of a, who did I sound like to you?
Well, it sounded like Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah, I was hoping Kennedy. But in any event, I wanted to impress people, and I hope I did.
Well, Tim, let me just say this. Just some advice for you. express your opinions. Take the criticism with good humor. People will disagree with you, okay?
They really will.
Yes, they will. You can't stop it from happening. They're going to disagree with you. And some people may not want to invite you into their home because of the things you believe. But if it makes you feel any better, I threw somebody out of my house once who was from Canada, and they were criticizing our country.
Uh-huh.
I threw them out of my house, and they were a very good friend of my wife. So, these things... Is that her again?
Yeah. You think you're funny? You're not funny. No, I understand, Phil. I just... what I want to say more than anything else is that when people disagree with me, I call it fascism. When I disagree with them, I call it freedom of speech. What do you think of that?
That's really impressive. Why don't you put that on a napkin or something?
Yeah, I'm going to embroider that maybe on a doily. And I'm going to... Forget it. Never mind.
All right, I'm sorry, Tim.
I got to deal with it. I'll see you later, Phil.
All right, Tim Robbins. Can we cut the connection to his house, please?
I told you. I'm going to kick your ass!
Can we cut the connection to his house?
Stop it! Stop it! Thank you.
Guy needs help. Man. What if that was like that at their house? She's sitting around farting and he's screaming, "Stop it!" Oh, Tim, you always take yourself so seriously. Do you have to drink tonight of every night?
Big pushover.
Yeah, I hate it when you drink.
You think you're something else, don't you? Getting in front of the press club, talking all that crap.
I'm not talking crap. I'm talking about freedom of speech.
You know, I should have got rid of you. Just because you're a big guy, a little teeny weeny one.
You drink. I hate it when you drink. Get out of here. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Is Saddam Hussein in Syria? Do we care? They got Abu Abbas and with him a whole bunch of information about all kinds of terrorist activities. Remember the war on terrorism? Remember that, don't you? We're still fighting it. They caught the guy that shot that old man on his wheelchair and pitched him right over the side of that cruise ship. And with him, they got all kinds of information. And they also just today busted a group of guys who were close to the inner circle of Saddam Hussein. And guess what they found with them? A whole lot of American money. Now, what do you suppose they're going to use that for? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we had Jay Santos on our show yesterday. Jay is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He's very concerned about all these yellow ribbons because the tying of yellow ribbons might anger Muslims. And he was running around with a loudspeaker telling people to get them off of their trees. Here's Jay.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Man, I tell you what, I don't know about you, fella. From what I'm listening, I mean, you're not even a real Muslim guy. First off, I'm going to put a yellow ribbon on my tree, on my property, anytime I want to show my support for the troops.
Yeah, but what if they
second of all, you will play hell pulling a ribbon off of my tree in my front yard. Second of all, you drive up to the front of my front yard and you start talking to one of my kids and I don't recognize the car, I'm calling the law and they're going to haul you away.
Well, all I'm doing is telling the kid to take... Wait a second. I can tell the kid to take the ribbon.
No, you ain't going to talk to my kids unless I recognize you or unless I'm there.
I'm a duly authorized...
Because there's too many people that drive up and snatch kids up.
I'm a duly authorized officer.
You know, if you want to talk about trying to protect people, why don't you go out there and try to run the drug dealers off and try to do something like that.
All right.
Instead of trying to do something like...
I have.
They're taking away the support.
What makes you what makes you such an authorized cop?
We got our own theme music, for starters, and very few police agencies have their own theme music.
What do you
know? The thing is, if you're sitting there talking about showing disrespect to these Arab Americans and stuff like that? You know what? If that sword will swing both ways. They need to show respect to us because we're wanting to show support for our troops.
I didn't get that. Can you say that again?
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization...
Hello?
Get that off the tree.
Will you knock it off?
State troopers, militia, the Rangers...
Or the Citizens Auxiliary Police. That's what I'm talking about, Butch. We have...
No.
Huh?
...have enforced and preserved our state law.
Look, if you want a sweaty Arab bouncing on top of your wife, go ahead, put that ribbon up. Me? I don't think so.
No.
Not me, not Jay Santos. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Just how badly would you beat Jay if you saw him in your front yard with a pith helmet and wingtips on, taking a yellow ribbon off your tree? I'm sure. There's the guy with his loudspeaker.
Get out the car.
Anyway, there's Jay. And you can pick up, that's Jay Santos. And listen, if you can be an honorary member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. All you have to do is order up your Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug. That's right. And you can have that in the car with you every morning. You can be sipping coffee and feel all official. You can feel all official like Jay. Pick up that Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug today. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. It's Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com, good place to go to figure out all things, you know, on the Phil Henry Show. We got our war diary. Baghdad-based Palestinian terrorist Abu al-Abbas, the Achille Lauro hijacker, is captured near Baghdad by U.S. Special Forces. Palestinian Authority, get a load of this, demands his release. Are you kidding? Are you guys got to be kidding? What, do you guys still think this is September the 10th? They must still think this is September the 10th. They must still think we're doing business as usual. That we feel guilty about the Palestinians not having a home state, and that it's all our fault, and that it's all Israel's fault, and that we have to have shuttle diplomacy, and that we have to free terrorists. We're not freeing any terrorists. It's over, baby. It's all over. All of the good times are over. If you're a Palestinian member of the Palestinian Authority, and you're a Abu Abbas's butt boy, or whoever you are, the fun, the party, the good times are over. We ain't releasing Diddley. Let me tell you something else. You want to know who wants him? The people that let him go in the first place, the Italians. They want him. They want him back. See, this guy got arrested with the four other pieces of human excrement that killed that guy Klinghoffer. They get taken to Italy. The Italians say they don't have enough evidence on Abbas. They let him go. The guy leaves the country, goes back to the Palestinian Authority or whatever crap can he crawled out of. And 2 weeks later, the Italians go, oops, I think we do have enough evidence. And the guy's gone. Then they issue a warrant for his arrest. Then, because they can't find him, they try him in absentia, meaning he wasn't there, and they sentence him to life imprisonment. That was in 1986 or 87 or whenever the hell that joke took place. It's been almost 20 years. What, it's 16 years. Who finally caught him? Thank you, Uncle Sam. Excuse me. Who else was going to get him? The Italians? They're too busy out in the middle of the streets of Rome protesting our horrible, unjust war against the Iraqis. They're too busy to go after one of these guys that they convicted of murder. So we got to go and get it done. And what do we get for our trouble? Big bad America pushing its weight around again. Well, if that's the way it's got to be, that's the way it's got to be. Because nobody puts a slug into one of our citizens who's 69 years of age and crippled, tosses him into the freaking drink and thinks they're going to get away with it. That's why, like I said, don't ever forget this guy's name here. Imad Fayez Mugnier. This is the piece of crap that beat Robert Stethem to death and then dumped his body out on that runway in Beirut. This guy's still walking around. He's probably down in the bazaar right now having himself a suck on a water pipe or a suck on something else. U.S. forces turned up recently abandoned terrorist training facility in Baghdad run by the Iraqi government and the PLF. Uh-oh. I guess we planted that evidence, didn't we? Questionnaire showed many trainees opted for suicide missions. Israel seals off the West Bank and the Gaza Strip for Passover festival beginning Wednesday. You know, it was this time last year that some guy walked into a Passover dinner and blew himself up and killed, I don't know how many people. They killed Israelis. Palestinians launched a fresh wave of attacks on Tuesday, killing three Israelis. On Tuesday night, the IDF rounded up 24 suspected terrorists in the West Bank. Syria suspected of harboring Farouk Hijazi, head of Iraq's secret police, suspected of plotting the assassination of President Bush in the 90s on a visit to Kuwait. You know, that alone was enough for us to invade Iraq. The fact that they plotted the assassination of an American president, or does anybody care anymore? Bush and Jacques Chirac talk on the phone Tuesday, their first exchange in 2 months, discussing Iraq and Syria. Top Iraqis reach Paris as France connives with Syria to rescue Saddam regime leaders, exacerbating the Franco-American crisis. U.S. Special Operations troops in Syria scout out Iraqi hideouts after a Bush ultimatum is delivered to Assad. And we're going to read more about that in our war diary as we move along. The French, they already found a couple of missiles manufactured in France. 2002 is the date on the missile. That's an illegal shipment of banned weapons to Iraq. They didn't get it from any third party. They got it directly from the French. You know, the French, the ones that were standing up and saying America's violating international law. You remember them, don't you? Chief of Saddam's Palestinian terror arm caught. Now, Al-Abbas, who embodies a hidden chapter in Yasser Arafat's career as a terror mastermind, was captured in Iraq by American troops in a hideout near Baghdad. He was turned back from the Syrian border after the Damascus authorities had let most of the Iraqi leadership through. Abu al-Abbas became internationally notorious after he hijacked the Italian Achille Lauro cruise ship in 1985 on Arafat's orders, shooting a disabled American Jewish passenger, Leon Klinghoffer, and throwing him overboard. A life sentence is outstanding against him in Italy. The Palestinian Liberation Front, yeah, which he heads, is officially designated by Washington a terrorist organization. In Israel, he's best known for a 30-year-old terrorist atrocity in Nahariya when he personally murdered members of a family of which only the mother, Yael Haran, survived. Our military sources tell us that Abul Abbas's PLF operated out of Baghdad as Iraqi military intelligence's operational arm for anti-Israeli terror in close liaison with Yasser Arafat's right-hand Tawit Tirawi, the commander of the Fatah al-Askar Martyrs Brigade, bullcrap, whatever the hell they call it. Jesus, these guys got more freaking names for stuff. One thing these guys do real good is talk and name things.
The Party for the Liberation of the People of the Land of the Homeland of the... Which homeland is that? I forget.
A PLF Palestinian cell trained in Iraq kidnapped and murdered 16-year-old Yuri Gushinin in Jerusalem in July of 2001. Counter-terror experts say interrogation of Abbas will for the first time provide solid evidence of Arafat's hand in terrorist activities in the past and the direct link between his terror campaign and the Saddam regime. You know, I think somebody ought to just put a slug in him, because I don't think that this so-called backlash for the martyr Arafat is going to be all that severe. Here's what you do. You kidnap him. You don't kill him. You just kidnap him. And then after you kidnap him, you kill him. But you don't let anybody know where he is. His fate becomes fuzzy. They don't know if he's alive. They don't know if he's dead. Send some coded messages out like they're coming from him, like he's on the run. Everything's okay. Love and kisses, Yasser. That's what I would do if I was the Mossad. I'd kidnap the guy. I'd take him out in a boat, just like Michael Corleone did to his brother Fredo. Stick a couple of slugs in his head. Dump him in the water. Then, you know, send coded messages. Everything's cool. I'll send a signal when everything's good. Yasser. Just keep him coming out for years. And all those dumbasses down there will believe it. In the heat of war, General Tommy Franks played out his thesis that speed kills the enemy. A more nuanced formula may govern America's international strategy beyond Iraq. The formula was revealed by Jim Hoagland in Washington as having been proposed by Condoleezza Rice. And here it is. Anxious to avoid punishment, French President Jacques Chirac urged his Russian and German colleagues at their St. Petersburg summit to start dismantling their anti-American front. If this was meant seriously, Hoagland advised the French president to pick up the phone at the Elysee and call Bush now. Guess what happened? He called Bush. I don't think Bush was too happy to hear from him, but he called him. Meanwhile, people are still pouring French wine into the gutter all over America. I pour it into the gutter not because I got a problem with France. It's because their wine tastes like vinegar. That's all. Nothing against you guys in France, but your wine, compared to American wine, tastes like battery acid. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got Margaret Gray back from Iraq. Let me find out if this is Margaret on the line. Is Ms. Gray, is that you?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
And you're back from Iraq?
Yes, I am. And I wanted to come on, and I wanted to state unequivocally that even though I was against this vicious and illegal war, that I would...
You know, you're going to have to watch that, because on my show...
censorship. Huh?
Well, no, it's not censorship. It's calling it an illegal war.
Well, Phil, I want to say this. I support the troops 100%, even though I was against this vicious and illegal war. Yes, I said it, illegal, yes. Okay? So...
Wait a minute. Let me ask you something, because I've never been able to understand this. How do you support the troops, but you're against what the troops do? What does that mean?
It means, Phil, that I love and wish the very best for our troops, but I don't want them to do their job. I'd rather they be fired.
What does that mean? You want them to, you love them. What are you doing for them? Anything?
Phil, you know something? You know what really gets me about you? You're willing to jump all over a woman. I'm a single woman. And
oh, don't give me that you're a woman thing. You know what you're doing. I just don't know what you're talking about.
I'm on here to support the troops, and if you don't want to listen to it, then don't listen to it. But I have been told by David Hall and other members of Clear Channel that because Tim Robbins has been very, very deeply, deeply wounded and very hurt by the entire Clear Channel apparatus, that I will be given the right, on behalf of Mr. Robbins, Ms. Sarandon, Ms. Garofalo, Mr. Clooney, Mr.
Okay, everybody in Hollywood.
Yes, I'd like to sing Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree. And...
Do we... look at...
And I have a human shield with me in case you want to launch another airstrike like you did when I tried to sing Where Have All the Flowers Gone. And...
What do you mean you have a human shield?
I have my own human shield. Ted, come on in here.
Hey, Phil, Ted Bell, how are you doing?
You got to be kidding.
No, Phil, listen, I really appreciate the way that Margaret Gray sings a beautiful, beautiful song. And so I'm going to be her human shield while she sings this song as for the troops.
That's right, Phil. A human shield so you can't launch, you can't call in another airstrike on me like you've done the last few times that I've been on your program.
Look, I didn't mean to call in an airstrike. It's just that your singing is so bad.
Not my singing is wonderful, you piece of turd. How dare you? How?
Look, at I just...
How dare you call in a sortie on me just because you think my singing's bad?
That's right, Phil. It's Tedville. I'm going to be your human shield. And with me here and the delicious sizzling steaks you can only get at Ted to Beverly Hills, you would dare Bobby and kill me.
Well, I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You try bombing me with Ted Bell standing here as a human shield, and brother, you'll be talking out of both ends of your rear end.
Whatever that means.
Right.
Okay, go ahead and do it.
Ted, stand close to me. Just, you know, in case he tries to get cute.
I'm right here, Margaret. I love this song.
I hate it.
All right, are you going to shut up or...
Okay, just sing it.
I'm coming home, I've done my time. And I have to know what is or isn't mine.
Beautiful, just beautiful.
If you receive my letter telling you that I'd soon be free, then you'd know just what to do if you still want me. 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 1. I'll tie a yellow ribbon.
Oh, not again. I said I'm a human shield.
Okay, so that was rough. That's, I hate to do that, but I ain't going to listen to that no more. So that was Margaret Gray. She got what she deserved. Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. You know, that tune, we have to remind people every time about that song. It's about an ex-con coming home, all right? But I know, it's for the troops. It's cool. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. By the way, CNN has been taking it in the shorts, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, CNN has been getting the worst, just getting the worst press and making the worst decisions. What's the latest? Okay, you heard about that reporter who was over in Baghdad, and that guy didn't report on all these atrocities. So right there, and then they can Connie Chung because that whole thing died a horrible, smoldering, smelly death. And now these idiots mistakenly release obituaries on Ronald Reagan, Dick Cheney, Fidel Castro, and Bob Hope. CNN, on their website, announced the death of Dick Cheney, Ronald Reagan, Fidel Castro, and Bob Hope. And they have, you know, what they do in the news business is they pre-prepare obituaries. So they have it ready to go. All right. And you know, Bob Hope, they've written and rewritten his about 900 times now. They thought he was gone years ago. Bob Hope is 98. Actually, no, he's 100 this year. Bob Hope is 100 years old this year. And they've got his obituary. So anyway, CNN, you know, could they be making any more mistakes over there at CNN? Could they just, they're not bad. It's just that Fox is destroying them. I was analyzing Fox. What do you think it is that Fox has got that CNN ain't got anymore? First of all, Fox, when you turn it on, doesn't it look brighter? Isn't there something about the picture that's brighter? I think it's because they use a lot of light blue backgrounds. Is that my imagination? Okay, they do that. Then they have a lot of really focused and energetic anchors, as opposed to Aaron Brown, who looks like he ought to be doing the Charlie Rose show. He's just very thoughtful and PBS, you know, that public TV stuff, kind of, you know.
And now we're going to take a look at a time in American past when baseball and the crack of the bat went through the air and, oh, come on, just give me the news.
That was like Charles Kuralt, you know. I'm Charles Kuralt, and Mary Brown feeds ducks over by the mill. We're going to take a look at that in just a minute. Will you just give me the news, Charles? What is this, on the road? The only thing on the road, man, looks like that road apple. Maybe you got to clear it out of there. I'm Charles Kuralt. Time for a dump. So, and the other thing that they got is, I don't know, they just seem to be on the story faster than CNN. They just seem to be all over this stuff. And CNN has, since 9/11 especially, they've lost it. They got no clue. When I flipped them on after 9/11 and I saw that Paula Zahn and that, what's his name, Aaron Brown, I found myself daily getting more irritated and more irritated. That's when I found Fox, because I wasn't really a news junkie before then. And then I didn't know what was bothering me about it, but it was bugging the hell out of me to look at the two of them. They weren't giving me any news. They were panicking. I remember after 9/11, there was all that panic about anthrax. Every time that guy Brown opened his mouth, it sounded like this. Okay, everyone just remain calm. Here's some news now about the anthrax. You know, he's just had a little bit of a quiver in his voice. Hello, I'm Aaron Brown, and here's the news. Don't worry about anything. I'm Aaron Brown. And then Paula Zahn with the teeth. Jesus, I know you're getting free samples of Crest, but that's ridiculous. So now CNN is mistakenly printing up the obituaries of people. What in the hell? Who's running the show over there anymore? Is there anybody home over there at CNN? Down there at the building, at the towers, or whatever you guys got? What happened to you guys? I'll tell you what happened to you. You got fat and happy. You were resting on your laurels. And along came these Fox guys. They're kicking the crap out of you. They're on top of it. They're hungry. They got all these big fat mouths that work for them. All a bunch of big fat mouthy white guys. There ain't one black face in that whole network. Have you noticed that? Except for that Lauren Green in the morning who does the news. I didn't say Lauren Green from Bonanza. Lauren Green. Isn't that her name? That's the only black person they got. Am I right or am I wrong about that? They haven't got a Hispanic or a black anywhere on that network. And you want to know why? Because it works. That's why. It works. I guess it works. I don't know. And they just got it together. Meanwhile, CNN is over there looking around for cigarette butts. They don't know how to do the story anymore. They're in Baghdad, they're embedded in Baghdad, and every time they got a piece of news, they don't report it, because they're afraid somebody's going to get killed. Then what the hell are you guys developing sources for if you don't want to report the news, because the source is going to get killed? By the way, they're making a real big fat deal about this Jessica Lynch. You know, the only black guy I just noticed that they have on Fox is Al Sharpton, and they have him on a lot. You might as well give him his own show. He's always on there bailing out that one show. Instead of just having him on your show, guys, give him his own show so he ain't bailing out that other one. Jessica Lynch got rescued, as you know, and now they're saying, well, there wasn't any real action. There was no real firefight that extracted Jessica Lynch from that hospital. She was just there, and there was, you know, there was just, they went in and got her. And they're saying that that somehow that was a dishonest representation of the rescue of Jessica Lynch, that somehow there was a firefight. I never heard that there was a firefight. What I heard was there was a diversion or something. The guards left. There was no one there, and the guys came in and got her. I never heard that anybody fired any shots. Did you? One of the physicians, an Iraqi doctor working the hospital that night, said it was just a Hollywood dazzle. They made a big show. It was just a drama, a big dramatic show. This doctor, another doctor, said no Iraqi soldiers or militiamen were at the hospital tonight, April 1st, when the U.S. Special Operations Forces came in helicopters to carry out the midnight rescue. Most of the Saddam Fedayeen fighters and the entire Ba'ath Party leadership, including the governor of the province, had come to the hospital earlier in the day, changed into civilian clothes, and fled. They brought their civilian wear with them. Fine. So what? By the way, the word is that those guys all ran because they were paid to run. That the United States went in early on, said, we got a bundle of cash if you guys just want to split. And some of them took them up on the offer. Now, why didn't we tell our guys that some of these guys were paid off to leave? Because it's possible that those guys wouldn't want to leave and would, in point of fact, direct their troops and aim them at our guys. So you don't tell a guy on the ground, hey, some of these guys may be leaving because we paid them off. You want those guys alert. But these cats split. I mean, they split. Some of them didn't fight at all. They just ran. They didn't blow up bridges. They didn't do anything. Just ran. They just got the hell out of Dodge on their way to Syria. And, you know, there wasn't much of a fight. I mean, look, why is that surprising? That's what they did in 91. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, just as I was talking about CNN, this news item came up that it looks like they're going to fire Aaron Brown over there. I don't know if they're going to fire him, but he ain't going to get a show anymore. He's being moved. He's being moved somewhere, maybe out near the garbage pails, because they got Paula Zahn. They're going to move her into prime time. As if I hadn't gotten enough of her in the morning, now I got to look at her at night? Not. I'm going to be watching maybe my show on NBC. Or maybe not. Maybe I'll be watching Paula. We saw the final, one of the final edits on our pilot today. We went over to the CBS Radford. And I got to tell you, you know, it's very good. But that doesn't guarantee anything. I'm the biggest critic of my work. I mean, I don't want to talk about myself, although I think I will for the next hour and a half. I wanted to say that I don't usually like when I hear myself on the radio. I can't stand listening to it. And I think that... Anyway, I saw this thing, and even though I look like a big, fat guy, it ain't bad. It ain't bad at all. But that's just my opinion. You never know. You never know. You never know. And again, as I've been saying all along for a year and a half, the odds are way against it that it'll get on the air, just so you guys know. Because you know what happens if it doesn't get on the air, which, you know, like I say, the odds are that it won't, then the next thing you're going to read is, Henry's pilot passed by NBC. NBC passes. They pass on most of this stuff, you got to understand. If it actually gets on the air, it's a miracle. It's a miracle, and you know, it's worthy of Our Lady of Lourdes. That's how much of a miracle it is. And if I get on TV, it's even more of a miracle. So in any event, we saw it and it looked pretty good. Now, why did I bring that up? Because if it gets on the air, I will have an alternative to Paula Zahn and America's, what is it called? The American Evening. Because Aaron Brown, just like most things Brown, is getting flushed. Speculation has mounted in recent weeks that Brown, who has been the network's primary anchor, had lost a measure of prestige at CNN as he came under heavy criticism from some media watchers for his performance during the war. A ponderous, self-reverential anchor style simply does not work during a war, New York's Newsday said of Brown in a recent critique of network news coverage of the war. Now, CNN still trailing Fox News. As coverage of the war in Iraq winds down, we'll move morning host Paula Zahn into the anchor chair of a marquee two-hour nightly newscast as part of its reshuffled lineup. They want her to go up against Shepard Smith on Fox. And again, I am completely in favor of Shepard Smith's employment at Fox. I think gay people are every bit as equal as anybody else. Maybe he'd like to back off the eyeliner. Maybe he'd like to quit with the winks at the camera. I have nothing against the homosexual, but Shepard Smith, just back it down a couple of notches. Would you mind, please? CNN, once the dominant 24-hour cable news network, said Zahn, who has been doing some evening work during the war, would now host the primetime show American Evening, yada, yada, yada. No replacements have been named. Her first day on the job was September the 11th. See, that's when I first saw her and that guy Brown, and he looked like he was scared to death. His voice was cracking. He's standing on top of this building in New York. You can see the wig. See, that's the other thing. Will you knock it off with these wigs? You guys that hire these wigged cats, he turned around and right over there, you can see, and then you look at the back of the seat, he's going, here you see the burning World Trade Center. Well, right at that moment as he turns, you see the back of the head, and the wig hair kind of bends in, and the real hair sticks out from underneath it. And all of a sudden, a wind blows up, and three techs and a production assistant come over, and they're hanging onto his freaking wig like they're pulling down the Hindenburg. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Let's go to the phone. Bob, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. I enjoy listening to your program going home every night.
Thank you.
Phil, I wanted to talk about something I saw in the paper today. They had some law changes about dependents and income tax. We filed last night our income tax. In fact, I spent an hour post office.
I got an extension on mine.
Well, I thought about that, but I went ahead and paid it last night.
Well, I think you're smarter than me.
Right. Well, specifically, I'm referring to some families getting an unfair advantage that may be extra legal.
Yes, sir.
And I'm referring to the Smart family of the...
Elizabeth Smart's family?
Yes, sir, I am.
And what are you saying? That they're getting an extra legal tax advantage?
Well, what I'm referring to is that Mr. Smart, Ed Smart, has a large family. He has two boys and another girl besides Elizabeth.
All right. Now, this is they lost their daughter. The child was kidnapped, so people are knowing who we're talking about. Go ahead.
All right. That's correct, Phil. And the child was kidnapped by a man named Brian David Mitchell. And I was rereading the case last night in the car, and I had just come back from the post office. And, you know, I'd stood in line for an hour, and I come home, and I read the Smart case in the paper, and I realized that technically Ed Smart did probably claim his daughter as a dependent for the entire taxation year. Now, we know that the girl was missing for 7 months of the 2002 tax year, and in other words, out of his cares and out of his support, and technically under the support of this guy, this Mitchell guy.
So what are you saying about Ed Smart and his taxes?
Well, what I think people need to think about is that, for instance, I work very hard all year, and I manage a chain of grocery stores, and I scramble to honestly pay my taxes, and yet I still had to endure audits, and I've been audited three times in the last 5 years. And yet here's this guy who's rather high profile, is Ed Smart, who everyone knows his daughter's been missing, and yet they probably won't red flag his tax return.
Well, are you saying you think that Ed Smart's tax return should be red flagged because he can't claim Elizabeth as a dependent since she was missing most of the year? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think he probably did. And what I think what everyone believes is this idea that, you know, Mormons, because my understanding, and ain't they Mormon? Because
I think they are, yeah.
Okay. And I do not have no religious bigotry at all. But everyone's got this idea that Mormons are, you know, squeaky clean and this kind of thing. And I'd be surprised if Mr. Spart, you know, claimed his daughter as a dependent, even though she technically wasn't, and he gets the tax break. And let's be clear. I'm a father, and I share in the jubilation of the family at having the daughter home. But in the meantime, while they get excited over the Mormon tabernacle, a federal law is being broken right under our noses. And the thing is, these Mormons have been basically, if you look at the history of the Mormon Church, they've been basically, you know, pulling their pants down and showing their you-know-what to the federal government for years. And
all right, well, let's wait a minute before we get into that. Because that's a whole other thing, all right?
Yes, sir.
How do you know Ed Smart did this? You don't have any proof.
No, I just say red flag the guy's return to make sure. And when you say, Mr. Henry, how do we know he did? Again, we're dealing with Mormons. And
well, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't say anything.
Well, they got 18 wives or whatever they have, and if everyone would cheat on their taxes, if anybody would cheat on their taxes, a Mormon with 85 wives or whatever would. And
Mr. Smart, first of all, you know, the Mormon Church does not, there's no polygamists per se in the Mormon Church anymore. Mr. Smart certainly is not one.
No, but the whole history of being anti-American government.
No, but there is no evidence of that. Let me give our phone number out while I'm talking here.
You see, Mr. Henry,
Let me give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Can Ed Smart claim his daughter as a dependent on his taxes, even though she was kidnapped for 7 months? Well, what if he can?
Well, no, if he can, I'm saying the law should be changed. Because I think it's not fair.
Well, you know, this is a guy who suffered the kidnapping of his daughter.
Well, he had a daughter that wasn't living with him for 7 months. And being a Mormon, he might be tempted to claim her anyway. And
can we knock off being a Mormon?
Well, you know,
do you have something against Mormons?
No, sir, I do not. No, sir, I do not.
Well, then what is it with you being a Mormon?
Because the Mormons traditionally don't go along with the way everybody else does things. They, if you've read up on them, and I've read up on Mormons, their underwear is different. They don't, you know, they don't worship the same things. And
well, they have their own religion and their own life, and there's nothing un-American about that. It doesn't mean that a guy's going to cheat on his taxes. But what you're claiming is that if Mr. Smart, Ed Smart, claims Elizabeth on his tax return, he's cheating.
Or if he's not, it ought to be against the law, because I don't think it's fair. And I'm just saying, why does an honest man like me, and maybe some of your listeners too, why do we get it like you get it in, I'm bending over like you get it the way you get it in jail, and this guy, Smart, he's sitting there spending his return check on whatever those people spend it on.
Well, look, even if what you're saying is true, considering what that family went through, I would think the government would not be disposed toward analyzing that man's tax return.
Well, Mr. Henry, maybe Brian David Mitchell would like to see that return, because for 7 months he did take care of her.
Oh, come on.
No, he fed her, he clothed her.
Come on, he raped her?
Yes, he did this, and I'm sure he'd be the first one to tell you that it was a mistake, but still, if there...
Oh, he'd be the first one to tell me it was a mistake. He fed her, he clothed her, he raped that girl.
But still, if there's any kind of tax break coming, don't you think he should get it?
He raped her, sir. He kidnapped her.
It is regrettable. So in other words, you're saying he ought to take it like jail sex because for the tune of $1,000 a month...
If anybody ought to be brutalized the way he brutalized Elizabeth Smart, he ought to. Are you trying to tell me that Brian David Mitchell, the man that kidnapped Elizabeth Smart, ought to get a tax break, ought to be able to claim her as a dependent?
Technically, yes, I am. Technically, yes.
The guy kidnapped her.
But he took care of her for 7 months, not the other guy, the Mormon.
Her father, you mean, Ed Smart?
I'm sorry, yes, sir. Ed Smart.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Bob. You are a grocery store manager?
I manage three stores for Fraser Foods, yes, sir.
and you believe that Ed Smart as much...
I want to be clear, Mr. Henry. I'm not trying... I sympathize with what the Smarts went through. I just think that they can't legally or they shouldn't be able to claim her as a dependent.
Because she was gone for 7 months.
Yes, sir.
Here is Chad. Go ahead, Chad. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing? Hey, I just want to comment to this guy here. I mean, do you think that Mr. Smart, do you think it's even crossed his mind about his taxes? I mean, first of all,
wouldn't you?
I'm sure the gentleman's got enough money where I'm sure somebody does his taxes, first of all. And
well, but wouldn't you think about it?
What kind of jackass sits here and talks about some guy and claiming a girl being gone for 7 months, and you're actually going to sit here and, you know, I'm beside myself about what
Hold on. It costs about $1,000 a month to raise the average American child. That's $7,000 this guy. What, he gets to walk? You just said he's rich.
You think he cares? He probably would have paid $3,000 a month to have his daughter back.
Then why not audit his taxes and make sure he's not trying to pull one? You have to understand,
you
sir.
You think he's trying to pull anything? The guy just got his kid back.
Exactly.
If you're a dad,
exactly. That's what we're talking
about. He just got his kid back.
The man lost his daughter. He just got her back. Do you think the first thing he's thinking about is how he can go ahead and squeeze the government for 7 G's?
Why don't we all ask ourselves that question? Wouldn't you, Mr. Henry? Wouldn't this gentleman?
Don't you have anything better to do? Go hug your kids and play some ball.
I love
Get your
my
head
kids.
Out of the book
hey, let me tell you something.
Calculator
hey,
out of your
hey,
BI.
Let me tell you something, pal. My kid wasn't kidnapped. Okay.
Exactly.
I take care of my kids.
A man who's was.
I take care of my kids.
Hey. Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Exactly.
No kid gets kidnapped from me.
What's that supposed to mean, Mr. Smart?
They climb in his window at night, you jackass. Are you kidding me?
Hey, what's wrong with flagging the guy's file and taking a look at it? That's all
what's
I'm saying.
What's wrong with
Big
you
deal.
Worrying about his taxes? Pay yours and go on.
Hey, I work
Leave
for a living.
Leave the poor guy alone.
I work for a living, okay? Some other guy gets
you
the $7,000.
You don't think he does?
He gets the $7,000 break and I don't.
You don't know that he's getting a break. You don't know that he's
oh
getting a break.
Hey, what are you making?
You are a character.
You know something, pal?
Tell you what, you need to find religion.
You know, sir, you must be the kind of guy that can afford to lose 7 G's a year. I'm not. If you think it's
no,
funny.
No, I'm the kind of guy who would gladly give that man some money so he could have had his daughter for 7 months. If my son got took for seven days, I'd give 10 years worth of income to have him back. Do you think he was worried about $7,000 worth of taxes? You need to just... Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm not saying that he did. I'm just saying, why can't we check the record? Look, the law is the law.
What kind of brain you have that made you even come up with this asinine thought?
The law is the law.
The law is the law.
You got audited 3 years out of five. That's your problem.
Let me tell you something. I started a business out of my home.
Okay, well, that's the problem, starting a business out of your home.
What's wrong with that?
The first thing they're going to do is audit you when you use your house as a write-off as an office.
Exactly.
Oh, come on.
Look, man, I learned that a long time ago. You don't claim your house as your office.
I was selling cosmetics. My wife and I were...
You were selling cosmetics. What was it, Amway or something?
You know, you need to get those panties off because they're restricting your jimmy. That's your problem. You're way too uptight.
My Jimmy? Jesus.
All right.
Exactly.
Chad,
That's how I'm feeling.
Thank you, sir. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with this caller who believes that as much as the Smart family suffered, technically Elizabeth Smart was not their dependent for 7 months, and he wants to make sure that Ed Smart isn't claiming her as a dependent. And, you know, I say to the guy, the man lost his daughter for 7 months, and he says, well, the law's the law. So, do you think Ed Smart should have his file flagged to make sure he didn't claim Elizabeth as a dependent? 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with our caller and more of your calls. This is The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making hot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686.
I got a listener on the line, Mr. Robert Green. He's a manages a few grocery stores. You feel that Ed Smart's tax... Mr. Smart is the father of Elizabeth Smart, the young girl that was kidnapped and thankfully returned to her home earlier this year. You believe, though, that Mr. Smart's tax return ought to be looked at in case he claimed her as a dependent because she was gone for 7 months, correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct. And again, I don't want it misinterpreted that I do not share in the jubilation and the joy of this family at the return of their child. I have two children of my own, and as a father, I can tell you I understand everything that family went through. As a father, though, and with mouths to feed, and as a grocer, I can tell you exactly how much it costs to feed one less mouth for a month, and it's a significant amount of money. And I pay my taxes, and how come, you know, this guy gets to, you know, he gets to deduct it from his gross? And another thing, again, I don't want to sound like I'm anti-religious, but everybody knows these Mormons are a little, you know, they're kind of funny, and they've got a history of not going with the government, and it would be just like these Mormons to kind of sneak one by, even if one of their kids got kidnapped, because they're always thinking. And one of the things you got to know about Mormons is they think. Even if a kid's kidnapped and they finally get the kid back, they're on to the next topic. And I wouldn't be surprised, a lot of the Mormons, the wheel is spinning 1 minute after they get the kid back. Well, how can I save money on this? And I bet you, you know, he could have been thinking about it as soon as the kid got back. And he's, oh, thank God my daughter's here. Now, how can I turn this into a capital gain on my income tax? And
do you really think the man was thinking that?
Well, if you've got a history of being anti-United the States of America, or the United States of America, you know.
The Mormons are just—they're always looking to squeeze Uncle Sam.
I think if you're a group of people who feel as if Uncle Sam's got his hands around your you-know-what, then you're going to want to put your hands around his you-know-what, and it'll be a squeeze-off or whatever you want to call it. But what I'm saying is...
What do you mean a squeeze-off?
What I'm saying is, sir, that it is entirely possible that as much as he loves his daughter, he's also got numbers going around in his head. Because the good ones, the guy's rich, and he didn't get rich because he's dumb. He got rich because he's smart, and he was probably thinking, okay, Elizabeth's back. Let's bust out the income tax and see if we can turn this into a sweet thing.
Oh, all right.
Hey, look at... I'm paying my taxes, okay? I'm just asking if he is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're on with Robert Green. Kay, go ahead. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, number one, I think this gentleman is just way wrong and should not be a father of children in the way that he thinks.
Wait a second. I got two kids that I love very much.
Well, you might love them very much, but you're not teaching them a very good example. This person has lost his daughter, and you don't even know
but
if
he got her back
or not.
He got her back.
So what? What about the misery he went through for 7 months while yours there? You don't even know that he's done that.
I got the
and Mormons
tax.
Do. Mormons are not anti-government. You
well,
know, everybody. No, you know, you are wrong. You are a very evil person.
They had a lot. They had a whole.
You shouldn't even be
Brigham
great,
Young
having
had a whole
grocery
bunch
store.
Of guys that went out and
it's,
killed people.
You keep talking about people like you are perfect. You're not perfect, and you shouldn't even be in the position.
I'll tell
that
you this much: I pay my taxes, and I don't look to escape.
So big
I
deal.
Got a kid taken. And
you
the
think
other
that's
thing,
really big deal that you pay your taxes. Everybody pays taxes.
Not this guy Smart ain't. He's getting away.
He does too.
And I'll tell you something else. That guy, David Bryan, the guy that kidnapped her, why doesn't he get a tax break?
Are you kidding?
What do you mean? He's a criminal.
He's
the very lowest.
She was a dependent
possible.
Of his. She was a dependent of his.
He sure. By will? No. He was raped her and mistreated her for 7 months. And you think he should get a deal?
Right. And the other thing, Mr. Green, is Mr. Smart had nothing but misery. For
right.
seven
and he's helping
long
a lot of
months.
People now.
Exactly.
Too.
But he had misery, but he also had an extra 50 in his wallet.
Oh,
and that
deal.
Balance,
oh,
huh?
Who cares about an extra 50?
Well, maybe you don't, ma'am, but in the world I live in, money
I
pays
work
for
hard.
Things.
I
money,
work for my
that's
money.
The planet that I live on. I don't know what planet you're from. But
no, I think you're a different planet. I wouldn't even have. I wouldn't even take the time to put you on
all
the air.
Look, if one of your kids got kidnapped, would you say, well, you know, she's kidnapped, but at least I got a... Oh, God. I don't believe it.
I don't either.
Well, I don't understand what you're laughing at.
I can't believe you're serious.
Mr. Henry, if one of my kids were kidnapped, I wouldn't rest a second until that child returned to me. But
right.
I would also try to console myself with the knowledge that I had another C-note in my wallet every month. What's wrong with that?
Oh, my gosh. You are really sack.
Sack? What's sack?
All right. Thank you.
Jesus.
Well, 1-800-449-8686. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, it doesn't matter how much a child costs. That's directly proportionate to our income and how we raise our children, first of all.
True.
Secondly, you only are allowed $2,400, I believe, is the itemized deduction or the deduction amount that you're allowed. Obviously, if you itemize your taxes, that's a different story. But we're really not talking $7,000
right.
here. We're talking about... sir, I'm allowed to speak.
I know,
first,
but I just want
you can answer. You're more than welcome to talk.
I know. I just said I itemize. I don't know about you, but I do.
Okay, that's fine. But in the end, by the time you figure it all out, what are we dealing with here? Maybe $700-$800.
About $1,000 a month.
It's not $1,000 a month, sir. You're talking a much smaller amount. What about?
Wait a second. You're talking about school, clothing, medical. How are you raising your kids?
Sir, medical insurance, if you're working for someone or you work for yourself, it's deducted off of your gross earnings.
But I take my kids to a
special doctor. Don't you notice when you work for somebody, you pay for your medical, it gets deducted off of your gross. It has nothing to do with claiming it on your taxes.
All I'm saying is money. And
I understand that, but did you ever stop for a moment and think of the tens of thousands, perhaps even more than that? It's going to cost.
Excuse me, Einstein. What kind of shoes are you buying your kids? Green peppers? I put leather on my kids' feet.
You know something, sir?
Yeah.
You're so engrossed in other people's business that maybe if you spent a little attention to your own.
All right, we got to take a break here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Come on.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, back talking to a listener of ours, Robert Green, who's brought up this topic about, Mr. Green, you want the child to, the people who have a child kidnapped from them, like the Smart family, shouldn't claim that child as a dependent because the kid's been kidnapped for a while.
Mr. Henry, can I explain to you?
Isn't that your premise?
Yes, sir, but let me explain to you why I feel that way. I went through a similar experience about 6 or 7 years ago. This is 2003, so 1996, when my youngest son, Benjamin, was taken, and I'll tell you the circumstances.
Was he kidnapped?
He was kidnapped by his mother, yes. He was kidnapped by his mother.
So his mother took him where?
She took him across state lines.
All right.
And I lost my son for about 4 months until I got a court order to have him brought back to the state of California. And I was in agony, but I can tell you this, and I speak from experience as a father. I was upset that my son was gone, but every now and again, in the absolute depths of my depression, I would look up and I'd see my wallet sitting there on the dresser. And I kind of reach over and pat it, and I'd realize, well, you know what, I got an extra C-note in there every month, so, and it would kind of put a smile on my face.
Wait. You'd say, well, I feel better because I don't have to pay for this extra mouth?
I'm simply saying, you know, the downside was my son was gone. The upside was I was saving money on feeding him, yeah.
So that put a smile on your face.
Oh, okay. So in other words, I'm not supposed to feel good. All right. I get it.
No, I'm not saying, just that. Did that put a smile on your face?
Oh, no, that's okay. That's fine. Forget I said anything. Yeah, it did put a smile on my face. But if you want to judge me...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Latisa. Hi, Latisa.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, ma'am.
That's good. Well, I got two things coming up now with this gentleman. The first one, you know, I was saying, you know, they say money is the root of all evil.
And well, that's what they say.
He's a perfect example of that. I mean, because how can you put the amount of money over a human life. You know, the torture that that girl went through, being away from her family.
Well, that's
and,
true. That's true.
And everything like that, and then you're going to put a dollar amount on it. And then another thing, you just said don't sit there and judge you. But yeah, you're sitting there and you're judging Mr. Smart, you know, assuming what you think he's doing or what you think he might be doing, and I don't think that's right.
Well, I'm just saying what you need to do is if he is claiming her as a dependent, I think legally the federal government needs to look into it.
Well, number one, I think you're making a really big deal out of this because you're basing it on an if, because you're not, you don't know what he's doing or what he's not doing. You know, how do you know that he didn't take that money and give it to other people or victims like this?
Oh, I got a better question, Letisa. You say that you lost your son when your wife took him out of state.
That is correct.
All right. Did you claim him as a dependent?
Exactly.
Actually, no, I did not, Mr. Henry.
Well, what did you do?
I'll tell you what I did. I took the money that I was saving on not having to feed him, and I not that I didn't want to feed him, but since I wasn't feeding him, I took that money, I set it aside, and I played the stock market.
Oh, that's sad.
What's
that's
that?
Sad.
Hey, let me tell you something. I bought Qualcomm when it was $5 a
share. And now it's gone bankrupt.
Well, ma'am, I got Qualcomm at $5 a share, went up to 160, and I sold at 120.
All at the expense of your kidnapped child.
What's that, ma'am?
All at the expense of your kidnapped child.
Well, ma'am, how come you get to judge me?
Well, I'm not judging. I'm judging what you're saying.
And I hate to say this, ma'am, and I say this with all due respect. You don't sound like you've missed too many meals either.
You know what?
You know something.
I'm a very healthy woman.
Well, you know,
I'm a very healthy woman.
Letisa,
I'm a single mother of three children.
Yeah, don't respond to that provocation, Mike.
I want to.
No.
I like people like that.
No,
I like people like
you.
Him.
Know, a couple of flapjacks maybe you.
Now, what are you saying? You sound to me like maybe your testicles haven't descended yet.
Exactly. You sound like you're jealous because you don't have enough meals because you use all your money and play the stock market.
So you're saying that I don't have any balls, is that it?
You don't have no balls.
I'm just saying that you can't be calling...
The point I'm trying to make about the lady here is that she's probably played a couple of stocks in her life, too. Doesn't sound like she's missing any money.
You know what? Let me tell you something. I am a single mother of three children. I get welfare, you know, because I was a criminal at one time, and so now the society's judging me just the way you're judging that Mr. Smart guy, you know, and
wait
keeping things from happening, so... You know, but I'm not missing a meal because I'm well taken care of because I'm provided for, but I don't have to play the stocks, and I don't have to deprive my children, you know, with the money that we get if they're here or if they're not here.
Wait a second. You're on welfare, and you're still eating big pork loin steaks and stuff?
I don't eat pork. I don't like pork. You know, I eat ramen noodles. I eat a lot of ramen noodles and crackers.
Ramen noodles.
I ate a lot of ramen noodles and crackers.
I'll tell you what,
maybe one day if your child gets kidnapped, maybe you'll think about me when you've got that extra money.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll put it in an envelope and send it off to you there, Mom's Babley.
Exactly.
Okay, let's not be insulting.
It doesn't hurt my feelings.
Letisa,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, bring your food stamps into my store. I'll be glad to honor them. And
what store is it? What store
it's called Fraser Foods, but I'm sorry, no Salem cigarettes. I will not allow you to buy any of them.
All right. Letisa, thank you so much for
your
call.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye. What are you making fun of a woman with three kids?
Well, she's on welfare.
Well, that doesn't mean you get to make fun of her. Probably got some bum that was in her life or ran out.
Well, why don't you go out and get a job working at the, I don't know, like cleaning out cages at a pet hospital or something.
What?
Never mind.
Here is Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, what I've got to say is this man obviously doesn't know his tax law. My husband died on June 23rd. I was able to claim him for the whole year legally. My taxes were done legally. My son had a baby. His wife had a baby December 17th. It was premature. It wasn't due till January. He was able to claim it for year 2002 because it was born before December 31st. This is the law. Therefore, Mr. Smart, because his daughter was there up until June, could legally claim her.
Now, wait a second. Let me just so I'm clear. Your husband died, and you went ahead and took the money anyway. Boy,
what
oh, boy.
No,
wait
you
a
don't
minute.
Know your,
she
you
just...
don't know your law.
Wait a minute. You said your husband...
My husband was 73
right.
years old and
he,
died.
He
I'm
went,
a widow.
All right. He went west and went June?
In June.
What do you mean he went west?
I didn't say he went west. I said he died.
No, well, that's what I mean by... Going west, you die.
Legally, anybody who was born between January 1st and December 31st
right.
can be claimed on somebody's income tax.
All right, so your husband regrettably died in June.
That's
and
right.
And yet you claimed him for the whole year? Why, you sly old...
That's the law. Let's get some income tax people on this phone.
I got to hand it to you. You're something else. Even with a dead husband, can you believe that?
She just said to you, if you listen, it's the law. She's allowed to do it.
That's right.
Yeah, sure, it's the law.
It is the law.
Why don't you check and find out before you start spouting stuff you don't know about?
Yeah, and I enjoyed arsenic and old lace, too.
Well, whatever
I'm a 68-year-old widow who is still working.
Ma'am, I have to tell you this at this time, that I have every reason to believe, based upon what you've just told me, that you might have slipped something into your husband's food.
What are you talking about?
You know something? I also believe that God takes care of people like you.
I agree with you, Barbara. I'm sorry to hear about your husband, by the way.
Oh, so now you're making me look like the bad guy.
Well, you're the guy with absolutely no respect.
At 73 years old...
The woman lost her husband.
How old are you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, the guy standing behind you.
I'm 35.
You're 35?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I hope you live to be 73 and stay healthy.
I have every intention.
But with the attitude you have, I predict that you're dead by the age of 50. Because you've got a very negative attitude.
You think somebody's going to want to kill me?
Yeah, no. I do.
I think you're going to die because of your negativity.
No, I think someone's going to take a punch at you and cave your face in. That's how I think you're going to die.
Well, let me tell you this much. If a guy can croak in February and you still get to claim him for the whole year, that's one hell of a way of making a living.
He didn't die in February.
Well, wait a minute. I support myself. I don't live off of him.
That's a heck of a way to make a living.
I supported him the last few years.
Let me ask you a question. How many husbands have died in June, quote unquote?
All right, Barbara, don't answer that. Don't answer that. And I thank you for your call, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Get a tax person on this program.
Ma'am, hold on. I got a tax person right here. You there? Ma'am?
Yes?
I got my tax guy. Come here for a minute.
Who is this?
This is Mr. Wireman, Harvey Wireman. Come here.
Yes, hello.
Now, this is the gentleman who does my books. His name is Mr. Wireman. This is Barbara and Phil Henry. Barbara, I don't know your last name.
Don't tell him your last name, Barbara.
I'm not going to.
Right.
Yes, what can I do for you?
Tell them what you told me.
Am I on the radio right
now? Yes, sir, you are, and I forgive me, but can you give us some insight into this?
Yes. If an individual... passes on or is otherwise not residing with the primary taxpayer, you can still claim them as a dependent.
Well, that's not what you told me.
That's exactly what I told you. Because you're too stupid to figure it out.
You lying crap. You're fired.
I'm not getting fired, you idiot. Why? What did you guys want to know?
That's exactly what we wanted to know.
Thank you very much.
You said that to make me look like an ass, didn't you?
Look, I don't have to make you look like an ass. What you pay me.
All right, I got to go. Asshole.
All right, thank you very much, Barbara.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, there you go. Your husband, quote-unquote, died in June. 1-800-449-8686. This is... the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Henry Show is back.
A chill wind is blowing in this nation. A message is being sent through the White House and its allies in talk radio and Clear Channel and Cooperstown. If you oppose this administration, there can and will be ramifications. Every day, the airwaves are filled with warnings, veiled and unveiled threats, spewed invective and hatred directed at any voice of dissent. And the public, like so many relatives and friends that I saw this weekend, sit in mute opposition and fear.
On the R.C. Collins blows a meter.
Yep, that's the mysterious stench from the crap rune on a fishing boat 5 months out at sea.
Okay, thank you. What? What? I don't know, that one was in there. All right, thanks a lot, Tim. Good job, but you still don't get the part. We're giving it to Jeff Bridges. Now, moving along. A chill wind. Hey, Bridges, or what is his name? Robbins? Look, buddy, you know, we're all entitled to our opinion. You're right. But we get to disagree with you. But if we disagree with you, it's what? It's fascism? So, in other words, you get to say what you want to say, but somebody says something against you, and it's like the Nazis are loose, huh? Hey, they were comparing... This cat's talking about hate, right? Did you hear that? Hate? What do you call comparing Bush to Hitler? Oh, that's perfect reasoning, huh? That's just... That's the most equanimous kind of personality you'd want. Bush is Hitler. And how about this one? We support our troops as long as they shoot their officers. Yeah, that's... But other than that, you know, they're just a real cool, calm, collected group of people, and everybody else is full of hate. Well, you know what I say?
On the R.C. Collins blows-a-meter, scrambled eggs.
That's what I say. I just think something stinks in Denmark, man. When you can't say what you want to say in the Democratic Republic of the planet, and that cat gets to stand up giving speeches and sounding like the second coming of JFK.
But you'll win, that's the standard.
A chill wind, huh? I got your chill wind. But anyway, I'm sorry, hold on. Yes?
Are you done?
What?
What do you mean, what? Are you done?
I mean,
fart noises. Is this what we're doing now? We're doing fart noises?
He said a chill wind.
So you let off a fart noise. I get it. Move on. Move on, Phil. You're better than this.
I just wanted to,
Yeah. You've been all over this guy, Robbins. Didn't you hear him? He's got a hard-on for Clear Channel. We're all going to get fired. Now move on.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me.
Don't ever let him call the show again. Don't ever let him on my air again. All right. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, that was me doing the voice there of Bob Green in the preceding bit, as well as the voice there of David Hall. But I would like to thank Rob Birch of Salt Lake City, who sent us the idea for the Bob Green bit. Rob, thanks a lot, babe. He sent us the idea on debating whether Elizabeth Smart's parents should be able to claim her on their taxes this year. Whoo! Boy, it takes one bent mind, and we got plenty of them there in Utah. Those cats up there are something else. Remember when we did the show up there? We did our show from Salt Lake City, and they are the sweetest people and the craziest people. And totally down with what we do on the air, and they're not uptight at all, and everybody's got it all wrong about them. Everybody thinks Utah, Mormons, all that, those people are nuts, and talk about party. And the other thing, you know, they got a drinking situation. In Utah, there's a drinking, there are drinking prohibitions. For instance, what was it, Janice, you weren't with us. You couldn't do a double shot. Yeah, in other words, you couldn't order a double shot of it on a drink. So the waitresses would tell you how to get around the law. I'd like a beer and a shot of tequila. She's, okay, this is what you say. Say you'd like a beer. I'd like a beer. And 2 seconds later, you'd like a shot. And 2 seconds later, like, so that made it legal. That made it legal. As long as she brings the shot like 2 seconds later, then it's cool. Now, I don't want to get anybody busted. None of our fine people there in Salt Lake City, and at the airport was the same thing. What were they serving the air? I forget what it was, but it was like 1% beer. Nah, it couldn't have been. It had to be something else. Anyway. Hey, listen, our website is philhenryshow.com, and I was just looking at our world famous CD. It's called World Famous, The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002. This is our latest CD, our best of, and it's a 2-disc set. And I really want to encourage you to buy this one because you get 2 for the price of 1. It's the same price as always, $20 for the CD, $3.50 shipping and handling. All of the money, as usual, goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And they do such great work over there. And I encourage you to log on to their website, homelessyouth.org, homelessyouth.org, and you can see what they're all about. And when you buy our CD, you're going to help them out. You'll get a 2-CD set for the price of one, and your money will go directly to my friend's place, which helps the kids who are living on the streets and eating out of garbage cans here in Los Angeles, who moved out to Hollywood, thought they were going to be big stars, and, you know, it ain't worked out too good lately. So when you get this CD, and as I say, this year it's a 2-CD set, the money goes to them. And we have been so successful at raising money for my friend's place over the last several years. We're just very proud of all of you for helping us, and... you know, we're asking for a little bit more help. But again, this is the best one we've done. This double CD set, without question, is the best CD series that we have done in the 7 or 8 years that we've been doing CDs. We have raised approximately $80,000 with our CD this year, and we're looking for a lot more. We hope you can help. Just log on to our website and find out how. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.